and welcome back. We're diving deep into a turbulent time in ancient Israel today. We're going to be looking at Dr. John Oswalt's lecture on Hosea, specifically chapter 7. It's kind of wild what happens when a nation just forgets its roots.
It really is. Almost like watching a train wreck in slow motion.
Yeah, you know.
It's you see this nation grappling with internal chaos, instability, like politically, and then ultimately this spiritual crisis that just tears them apart.
Yeah, and Dr. Oswalt points out this thing right after the reign of King Jeroboam II. Things kind of fall apart, like real quick.
Yeah.
It's just this revolving door of kings. Zechariah for 6 months, then Shalem, just 1 month.
Wow.
Then you have Menahem for 10 years, overlapping with Pekah.
Oh, wow.
Then Pekahiah for 6 months, then Pekah for 20 years. And finally, you get to Hoshea, who is overthrown by the Assyrians in 722 BC.
It's just constant upheaval, you know, in a short period of time. And it's not just like the kings, right? There's this other thing. It's called co-regencies.
Okay.
Happening in Judah during this time. It's when you've got two kings ruling at the same time.
At the same time. What?
Yeah. It usually means there are some pretty serious power struggles going on.
Oh, behind the scenes.
Yeah. Everyone wants control and the nation ultimately pays the price.
So imagine just like a country where leadership is constantly in flux. Alliances are shifting. There's just uncertainty. And what's wild is that Hosea 7.2 actually says that God holds the people accountable for choosing these leaders that didn't follow him.
It makes you think, like, are we responsible for the state of our own nations today? How much do we even think about the leaders that we're choosing?
Right.
I mean, are we looking for integrity? Are we looking for a commitment to what's right? Or are we just settling?
It's a tough question, but it gets even more intense when you look at what's going on within Israel at the time.
Right.
Hosea 7.1-2 just paints this really bleak picture, deceit, theft, and this feeling that they can get away with anything.
It's not that people were atheists. It's that they were living like their actions didn't have consequences. They might have, you know, done all the motions of the rituals, but they weren't really with God.
So it's like they thought, God doesn't see, so I can just do whatever.
Exactly. But here's the problem. God sees it all, and even more importantly, he remembers. Hosea even says, I remember all their evil deeds. And it's not just like passive knowledge, it's this active personal memory.
Huh. So even when we think we're getting away with something, we're not.
Nope. And that's something that should give us all pause, right? Have you ever thought you were getting away with something?
Of course. I think we all have at some point. This whole idea of a society consumed by deceit, I mean, it feels kind of familiar, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It makes me think about, like, corporate scandals, the internet, where people just feel anonymous.
Yeah, like we've created systems that almost encourage this, but there are always consequences, even if we don't see them right away.
So speaking of consequences, Hosea uses this really vivid metaphor. He talks about a burning oven. What does he mean by that?
Well, he doesn't mean a literal oven, of course. He's talking about the dangers of these unchecked passions and desires. Just imagine a fire, right?
Okay.
It's supposed to give warmth and nourishment, but it's raging out of control, consuming everything.
Okay. So what's fueling this fire?
He specifically calls out political intrigue, self-serving leaders, and like this craving for entertainment. It's like they're obsessed with these things, and they've completely lost sight of what really matters. They're always chasing the next thrill, the next distraction, and it's just destroying them from the inside out.
Okay, so imagine living in ancient Israel, right, and you're surrounded by all this chaos. What's the most tempting solution? Like, how do you find stability in a world that feels like it's spinning out of control?
I mean, it's easy to see why a nation would start to look outward for answers.
Yeah.
Like, if we could just team up, you know, with a powerful neighbor,
right,
we'll be safe. We'll finally have stability.
Right, strength in numbers. But does that actually work? Like, does turning to these foreign powers actually solve the problem?
Well, that's where things get really interesting, because Hosea compares Israel to a half-baked loaf of bread.
Okay.
Like, it looks strong on the outside. Impressive. But inside, it's raw, vulnerable. He even says Israel's hair sprinkled with gray.
Gray hair? What does that mean?
It's like this picture of a nation that's aging, weakening.
Okay.
But they don't even realize it.
Huh.
They're so focused on fixing things on the outside that they're ignoring the decay. You know, the stuff eating away at them from the inside.
It's like putting a Band-Aid on a broken bone.
Exactly. It's not going to really heal. And, you know, this idea of looking for solutions in the wrong places, that's not just something from the past. We do it too.
Right.
When we're facing challenges or we're feeling insecure, we often just reach for something external. A new job, a relationship, a new whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of looking inside and dealing with the root issues.
It's so true. We just want that quick fix, that thing that's going to magically make everything better.
Yeah. but it rarely works like that. And the saddest part of Hosea chapter 7 is this phrase. It just keeps coming up. They do not turn.
So even with all the chaos, all the warnings, they're still not going back to God.
Nope. And it's not even that they hate God. It's more like they just get it. They have the wrong priorities.
Huh.
He compares them to silly, witless doves, just flitting around from one thing to the next. No purpose.
Why doves?
Well, doves are usually symbols of peace, gentleness, but they're also super vulnerable.
Right.
Easy prey. It's this perfect picture of Israel, a nation that wants peace, but they're going about it all wrong.
They're putting their trust in the wrong things instead of turning to God.
Yeah. And it makes you wonder, are we making God the last resort? Like, do we only turn to him when everything else has failed?
It's tough because some people think turning to God means giving up on everything good in life, embracing some kind of boring, restricted existence. How does Hosea deal with that?
That's a great question, and it's something a lot of people struggle with. But Hosea isn't giving us an ultimatum. He's not saying we have to kill all passion and desire to follow God. God created us with those things. He wants us to direct them towards life, towards things that honor him.
So instead of chasing things that don't matter,
exactly,
we can find a deeper passion.
Yeah, for justice, for mercy, for love, a passion for making a real difference.
Okay, so we've talked about the problem, the unraveling, the wrong thinking, the wrong priorities. And we've kind of touched on the solution, turning back to God. But what does that actually look like?
It's got to be more than just going through the motions. It has to be a real change of heart, a change in our deepest desires and motivations. It's about letting go, letting God take the lead, even when it doesn't make sense.
So not just a one-time thing, more like a constant realignment.
Exactly. And realizing that we need God's grace and mercy. We all mess up. We all make mistakes. We're all just like ancient Israel in a lot of ways. But the good news is that God's love doesn't change, even when we do. He's always waiting for us, ready to welcome us back when we turn to him with genuine repentance.
So what about repentance? Just feeling bad.
It's more than that. It's recognizing that we need God, confessing our wrongs, and then actually turning away from them. It's about making the choice, choosing to live his way, even when it's hard.
So aligning our compass with his.
Yeah, letting him be our guide. That's where the real strength is, not in some temporary fix, but in a relationship with the one who made us and loves us no matter what.
It makes you think sometimes we feel abandoned by God, but really, we abandon him first.
Right. We can get so caught up in our own lives that we forget who should be at the center. And then when things go wrong, we blame him, when all along it was us who walked away.
This is heavy stuff. Let's pause for a second, listeners. Think about a time when you might have believed something about God that wasn't true, something that held you back from his love. Maybe you thought he was distant or that he was punishing you. But what if those were lies? What if those beliefs kept you from experiencing his love and forgiveness?
And even if we haven't straight up rejected God, have we made him the last resort? Like, we only call on him when we're desperate. Hosea challenges us to make God our first priority, to ask for his help with everything, not just when things are falling apart.
This has been an awesome conversation so far. As we head into the last part of our deep dive, what are some key things you want our listeners to take away?
I'd say first, don't forget that we all have a choice. We can keep going down the same path, relying on ourselves, chasing temporary things, or we can go back to God. Let him lead. Let him change our hearts.
It's like a choice between lies and truth.
Yeah. And the second thing is, don't forget that turning to God isn't a one-time thing. It's a journey. It's about growing, changing, getting closer to him. It's about making sure we're still on track, aligned with his plan.
And last but not least, God is always there. He's waiting for us. No matter what we've done, no matter how far we've gone, his love is always there. When we come back to him, honestly, humbly. So welcome back to our deep dive into ancient Israel. Looking through this lens of Hosea chapter 7, we've been uncovering some really tough truths about leadership and about societal decay and about all those tempting solutions that don't actually fix anything.
And it's just wild how relevant these patterns still are. We might not be facing armies or offering sacrifices, but the temptations are the same. Compromise. Looking for security in the wrong places, turning away from God.
Yeah, it's like history is trying to warn us to learn from the past. But how do we do that? I mean, it's tough to bridge that gap between then and now.
And that's where Dr. Oswald is really helpful. You know, he points out that Israel's problem wasn't just that they knew they were sinning. It was that they weren't really seeking God. They weren't letting him change them.
So it's not enough to just apologize and keep going. There has to be real change. Right.
Yeah. Like a change of heart. It's about aligning ourselves with God's plan. You know, recognizing we need him. Letting him be the one to heal and restore us.
But how do we know what his plan even is? I mean, especially today. There's so much information out there. It's easy to get lost.
That's so true. That's where discernment comes in. And that's not something we're just born with. It's something we got to develop through a relationship with God. It's about reading his word, listening to the Holy Spirit, and, you know, finding people we trust to guide us.
So it's not about following a bunch of rules.
Nope. It's about really getting to know God, learning to hear his voice, and trusting him, even when it doesn't make sense to us. It's about letting go of our limited view and trusting his wisdom.
But that's hard. Letting go, it takes humility, honesty.
Oh, yeah. It means saying not my way, but yours, and really meaning it. But the crazy thing is when we surrender to God, when we let his truth lead us, that's when we find real freedom. Freedom from guilt, from shame, from trying to do everything ourselves.
So even when things are falling apart, even when it seems hopeless.
There's always hope. There's always the chance for things to be made new. And that's a message we got to hold on to, a message we got to share.
It's a good reminder that even when we can't see it, God is working. He's calling us to him. He's offering a way back to wholeness. As we wrap up this deep dive, I'm really struck by how timeless this message is. I mean, it's thousands of years old, but it's still so relevant to our lives today.
It's this call to turn away from all the destructive stuff, to let go of the lies that hold us back, and to embrace the God who offers real hope, real healing.
So listeners, as you go about your week, think about this. What lies are you holding on to? What parts of your life need to line up with God's truth, his plan for you? How can you start looking to him for guidance, letting his wisdom guide you? Remember that journey back to wholeness. It starts with one step, with choosing to surrender to God, to embrace his grace. Until next time, keep seeking, keep asking questions, and keep diving deep. See Missy Wenslaw.